Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I have come to admire enormously the intelligence of Diana West. She is a regular featured guest here at Secure Freedom Radio, a longtime syndicated columnist. You can find her blogging these days at dianawest.net and her writings at The Daily Caller and many other places. She is the author of two absolutely superb books, The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana West, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. Good to have you back.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you, Frank.
You have been doing some musing, I know, as have I, about what on earth is going on at the moment with respect to this outcry against hatred and bigotry. It is, of course, coming to us in the context of the very, very unpleasant activities that took place at Charlottesville over the weekend and had been spreading to other parts of the country, some of it aimed at these Confederate statues and the like. But what do you make of what's going on, Diana West?
I think we are living through an American cultural revolution, going back to the Maoist model. What seems to me to be lost in all of the sturm und drang going on in terms of rallying people against hatred, which I think is a complete red herring in the sense of this is not about hatred, is the fact that our First Amendment is not being protected. Our First Amendment guarantees not only our speech and our press, it guarantees the right of people, the people, to peaceably to assemble. This rally was a lawfully permitted, it even had a federal judge in reinforcing this, permitted rally, a gathering, a peaceable assembly. The state, the locality, the city of Charlottesville, the Commonwealth of Virginia, failed to protect our rights. They failed to allow these people to assemble and give their speeches and talk about the statues and whatever else was on their minds. This is all about choosing who is not entitled to speak. This is where we get to tyranny. And when we then see everything devolve into a riotous situation where the Antifa leftist forces were allowed to take to the streets without a permit and the violence that ensued, this was not a failure of the so-called alt-right, the neo-Nazis, the white nationalists, and anyone else. This was a failure of the state and the police to permit them to rally peaceably.
You know, Donna, I'm very much of the view that supremacism, totalitarian supremacism of any stripe, whether it's religiously justified or ethnically justified or politically justified or on any other basis, it is an abhorrent thing. And it poses a real threat, as you say, to freedoms, including most immediately our freedom of speech, our freedom of peaceful assemblage, and so on. And yet what we're watching, notably at the hands of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the so-called OIC, which has induced the UN and the European Union and now Google and Facebook and others to adhere to a selective condemnation and really censorship of some forms of supremacism, but not others. Sharia supremacism, for example, is apparently to be unconstrained, but anyone opposing it is now considered a hater, bigot, and to be silenced. What should we make of what's coming our way, what we're seeing play out in the way of, as you say, a sort of Maoist cultural revolution in America? Are we going to find censorship now formalized, not just de facto, but de jure?
Absolutely. I mean, we are already seeing this. None of this is in the future. This is already behind us. We are seeing the shock troops of tyranny taking over with the approval of most of the United States government, with the exception, at this point, of President Trump, who I thought did a wonderful job in terms of standing up for rights of people to lawfully assemble. Now, he did not make the case, which he should be making, about this being a First Amendment issue, how the First Amendment is of paramount importance, and it is only the job, the state's role, the reason we have a state, is to protect our rights. It's not to choose who is entitled to practice them, our vision, because it's never about hatred. It's about power. It's about seizing power and choosing winners. And it's the most anti-democratic kind of movement that we have seen take to the streets for a very long time in this country. When we actually see these monuments overturned, this is an outrage. We've got millions of Americans are descended from the Confederacy as well as from the Union troops. Millions. This is an attempt to demonize, to denigrate, to erase much of our nation and what is good about it. And it, the people, these are our people. This just cannot stand.
Donna West, let me ask you, there have been on the Democratic and Republican sides of the aisle, as you say, pressures in this direction, even before this latest blow up over Charlottesville. Hillary Clinton threw in with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, making the case that we needed to use old-fashioned techniques of peer pressure and shaming. Marco Rubio, a prominent Republican, has now joined forces with Dianne Feinstein and others in the Senate to get unanimous agreement to a resolution that sets the stage for hate speech codes to be imposed, I think, along similar lines. This is extraordinarily troubling, and I personally think Donald Trump, well, he may have done it in a way that was not as elegant or as to the point as he should have, deserves credit for trying at the very least to point out there are haters on various sides in this country, if you wish to use that term, and violence to enforce their agenda is unacceptable no matter who engages in this kind of supremacist behavior. You pointed out something that didn't get as much attention as it deserved at the time. Susan Rice called upon H.R. McMaster to act to shut down parts of the White House staff that have been very much part of the president's team. Remind us what that was about and what's the takeaway from it?
Well, this had to do with Susan Rice tweeting, actually putting this out in the public sphere, that she hoped that H.R. McMaster would shut down the part of the White House that was being organized by Stephen Bannon, the president's chief strategist. You know, who is running the White House staff becomes a very important question. This is sort of our ongoing problem in terms of what Donald Trump will be as president. I think in some ways, Charlottesville has woken him up to certain aspects of his personality and his belief that are very healthy and certainly seem to connect him back with his candidacy. And I would just add one more thing about the irony of this, the Islamic efforts against speech that we've seen take such force in Europe and this country alike, and this current issue where we've seen call for the removal of all Confederate statuary in the country. Islam is a civilization based in slavery that sanctions slavery. And this is just across the ages of Islam. So this notion, it's way beyond irony. And you have to conclude, again, it's about gaining power, going back to Hillary Clinton, shaming and using peer pressure to put us all back in the box, to put the deplorables all back in the box where they were supposed to stay before Donald Trump came along. And that's what this is really about.
I fear that where it could well head, but it at the minimum is a struggle over whether we will submit to some forms of supremacism, specifically Sharia supremacism, and that that the left is enabling for presumably their own purposes, but nonetheless having the effect of, as you say, allowing people who have made an art form as well as a religious duty of hatred and forced submission and slavery and so much more. It is beyond outrageous. And I think it's I think it does constitute an existential threat to freedom and therefore must be resisted. Diana West, thank you for this very thoughtful exposition, as you do with great regularity at dianawest.net and The Daily Caller and elsewhere. I hope you'll come back to us very soon, next week, for example. We'll talk with you then, for sure. In the meantime, stay well. Thank you so much for joining us today. Russ Dallin joins us next. We'll talk a little bit about what the latest is on Venezuela. Is there a war in our hemisphere underway, or will there shortly be? That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.